Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior trends and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly, and now my new podcast about interior, zeitgeist, and friendship. Are you ready? Wow, so today is a really great day. Not only is it the new year, so this podcast is going to rejuvenate you and your home for the new year, but I'm with someone really special to me. Her name is Annika Easterling. She is based in Hamburg. She's a yoga teacher. She does workshops here and abroad. She also is a model, which I'm always so super jealous of. Every girl is always looking at a model, no matter how many times you see them in the magazines, and you always just think, oh, what a life. And then also she's doing videos, and she's written 2 books and also is a contributor to Emotion magazine here in Germany. And I think, you know, a lot of you may be wondering, why do I have a person who is a yoga master on an interiors podcast? And I can't wait to tell you how you can apply this to your home and your life. I think you're going to love it. Annika, welcome to my show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Holly, for having me. I'm also a big fan of yours and everything you're doing. So you forgot mention that.
Yeah, I did forget, but I try to be humble here. So we're equal fans. We're both fangirls of each other. Yes. And I think one thing that I really just would love to ask you, because it's a new year now, what excites you about 2020 and getting into the new year?
Oh, I think every time we have a new start, doesn't matter if it's a new year, but especially during new year, we get power going on to create something new, to start something new, to want to change something. So it's great to dive into that special energy and just get that push to really do it. Because I think often we do have ideas and thoughts to do something or to change something, but we don't find that special energy to actually go that next step forward.
Yeah.
And during like 1st of January, beginning of January, there is a high energy of change. So it's just dive into that push and do it.
Yeah, that frequency is definitely in the air right now.
Yes.
Where everybody just wants to try something new. But
yes,
I have to tell you, in my editorial for the next issue of Holly, which is out, I think, on the 15th or sometime in January, in that I wrote something that has to do with you. So when I welcome the readers to the next issue of the magazine, I talk about something that you taught me when I was on your mat last year, I think it was, in Hamburg. You told me that it's really important for the year to have a word.
Oh,
do you remember that?
It's like your mantra,
my
right?
Mantra
it's
for the
like,
year.
Yeah, it's, and that's what I think a new year is really great about. It's always to put an intention to something, and a mantra is kind of like an intention of what I want to reach, what I want to do. It's something to hold on to also, and something to inspire me and to keep my spirit going, and not, because we are all masters in distractions and
yes,
sidetracking.
Yeah. Yes.
And looking also for this kind of things to not stay on track. And like a mantra is really like a tool to keep you in a certain spot, to keep your intention going in a certain direction.
Yeah. And what you told me something that I loved about the elephants in India, about the word. Can you tell the listeners? Because this was really interesting.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So the mantra is a Sanskrit word and actually means tool. And the idea that they had is that we need a tool because our mind is just what I just said. We keep going off track. We keep distracting ourselves and not staying focused or concentrated or with awareness. So in India, the elephants are like holy animals. And when they have a parade going on, then they put I don't know if you've probably seen pictures of elephants being painted and
yes,
decorated.
Yes, yes.
So beautiful.
Beautiful.
So they put them in front of the parade to lead all the people. But then the elephant is just an animal. So, and then in the villages, it's kind of really tight pathways that they have to pass through. And of course, in there is like, there is a vegetable stand and there's some fruits and there's this, and the elephant is like, he's just like an animal and he's
right.
Hungry
yes.
Always. So he's like with his trunk there and there and not going forward, leading the parade. So the people got frustrated and they're like, oh, we have to come up with a solution. And then one very smart man said, okay, I'm just going to give him something to do. And he found a stick and he held a stick towards the elephant and he put it in his trunk and he said, okay, now you have something to hold on to. You have something to do. And the elephant was very proud to get this stick and held it up and was so occupied, was just doing this, that he would walk all the way straight towards where they wanted to go. Goal.
Yeah.
And for us, it's just like the trunk is like our mind grasping on to many different things and being sidetracked here and there. But we forget about what we really want to go. Where's the goal? Where's my aim? Where am I going towards to? So the mantra is just helping you to not get sidetracked.
So that one word you just keep before you, and you can apply this to anything, right? Even when you're shopping or when you're out at a retreat, like I know you teach workshops abroad and wherever you are, you have this mantra. So like, for instance, I don't know what your word's going to be for 2020. I'm not going to tell because it's in my editorial in the magazine, but I have a word for 2020, and how I'm going to apply it is that I know that whenever I'm faced with anything, to center me, I'm going to think of this word and I'm going to think, is that in line with my goal for the year, this word?
Correct. Yeah.
And that's what you do.
That's how you can use it. And
I love it.
And it's really like you can use a word that inspires you to be the better version of yourself. It's something that if it could be like love, it could be like getting grounded. It could be any sort of thing that you're missing in life right now, just to remind you to go that way, or to remind yourself that it's inside of you, but you're not actually using it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just making you stronger in the person who you are. It's really about finding who you are.
Okay, good. Well, I think that's really, for anyone listening, I think that's such, we could end right now and that would be the best takeaway from the podcast so far, because I think everyone needs focus. And I personally have a distraction problem because I see so much and I'm doing so much. And you too. I mean, how do you, as a mother, as of two children, as a contributor to magazines, as a book author, a model, video maker, teacher, how do you like keep, because you're always so chill. I think she just smokes weed all the time because you're always so relaxed. Like, how do you keep it together? Can you tell us, please? I buy it?
It's certainly, yeah, you know what? It's for free.
Okay. What is it?
It's doing the practice. Okay. You just have to do the practice of
yoga.
Of yoga or meditation.
Meditation.
I think we do yoga because yoga is the physical aspect that we all know. And this is the first, we have a picture of somebody doing probably tree pose. It's like every time I want to shoot, they're like, can you do tree pose? I'm like, don't give me that pose one more time. Yeah. There are so many more pretty poses.
Cobra.
But we have a picture of yoga as being just those poses on the mat. But actually, we do all these poses on the mat to be able to sit in silence and to be able to calm our really busy elephant trunk, meaning our mind, and to be more focused, to be more aware, to be more present in what's actually happening right now at the moment.
Right.
It's really the practice, and it's for free. It's just taking your time, and time is the most precious thing we have, and you don't have to think you have to do an hour. It's like if you start with like 3-4 minutes a day, it's like brushing your teeth. We don't think about brushing our teeth, or we wouldn't say, oh, I forgot Monday and Tuesday, so Wednesday I'm gonna do 15 minutes instead. No, we don't. No, it's like you have to make it a routine, a ritual. I like the morning rituals. Like, and I think a new year is like also beginning. The morning is like a beginning, and everything is energy. You talked about higher frequency. There is a higher frequency in January, and there is a higher frequency in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's not only that there is, it's a special frequency when we dive into that. And sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning and you have a really great morning. Like you are like full happy.
Amazing.
You feel like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is this?
And then you wake up the next day and you're all like angry or sad or like no energy. And you're like, what happened during night? Like, you know, I slept in the same bed. I had the same pajama. All was the same. So the thing is, energy changes and feelings change too, and thoughts change too. So once we hook onto that, we hook onto a feeling or we hook onto a thought, we are prone to like sort of a mess up because it's always different. So when we follow our feelings, follow those thoughts, every time, it's like a roller coaster which we are on.
Right.
So what we can do, and this is awareness, we can set up an intention. Like you said, it's that one word. I want to be happy. Right. I want to feel love. Right. I want to have gratitude. I want to feel groundedness or trust. Mm. So my word or whatever is my mantra or whatever is my positive emotion that I want to be in, you put it up in the morning because the morning has a certain energy which will carry on all during the day.
Right. Like you can decide how you want your day to be more or less.
Exactly. That's the most powerful tool you have every morning.
Yeah.
Every year. Yeah. Every January.
every day. So what about applying this to the home? Because I think about this does apply to the home because so many people, I think, now are thinking more holistically about how they're decorating and the energy in their home. It's not this, you know, superficiality. A lot of people think, trends, decorating, this is so superficial. But in the end, I always have believed that your home carries this energy and it embodies who you are and also who you aspire to be. Mm. And if you come into your home and your shoulders drop and you relax and you know where your keys go, where your bag goes, you know where everything is, you feel a certain calmness, you feel love, you feel creativity there, whatever it is, this is your catalyst, your framework for everything else. So if your home is a mess and crazy and chaotic and stressed, then you carry this throughout the day, don't you?
Sure.
And how is that for you? I mean, do you find that to be similar or?
No, you put it in really beautiful words. It's like the home is like a womb.
Yeah.
Or an anchor.
Yes.
And it's really there to create a shelter for you. And you're right that the rooms carry energy. It's like we notice that when we walk into different people's homes or we walk into shops, we can
you feel a vibe.
You feel a vibe.
Oh yeah,
you
totally.
Know, and like you like, and people carry vibes. So like everything is energy, and energy is vibes. So we always send out energy, and rooms send out energy. Even a furniture piece sends out a certain energy.
That's
like
true.
Colors and shapes send out energy. So I think it's something that we can be aware of. And like you said, it's you want to create something where you find a shelter or groundedness, especially in a time where we're living in with a lot of going on the outside. We need a still place inside, a place where we really refuel and nourish ourselves. And we can't forget we are more than a five sense person. We have more senses than that. Like
I think
the soul
so
is a sense too.
Yeah.
And we can feel our surroundings not only through touch and smell and our eyes and our ears. It's like we feel it with the soul inside. And I think when we put that awareness into creating our home, it just makes it a magical place. And it's that place that we sometimes need to rebalance ourselves.
Yeah. And I see this trend now of more and more people wanting to make their home a bit of a spa or a sanctuary. And we spoke about this before and how you travel a lot and you go to a lot of beautiful places and you like to bring this to your home, right?
Yes, and I'm happy that I'm on the show anyway because I'm such a decorating fan and I love interior. I've always been a huge fan of interior and I like to gather beautiful things around myself. So when I do retreats, I always pick special places. Like it's like the boutique hotel or it's a new creational center in a nice setting. So I'm always looking for where's that spot because I feel it's not just the yoga. I mean, the yoga hopefully is good.
Yeah.
The food must be good. But then I also really, I like beautiful places and I like to be inspired also by how they decorated it. So when I come home, like I'm spending like a week or longer in that gorgeous place and then I come home and I'm like, I noticed that a lot of times, like I would buy things in the hotel shop. I'm always the best customer of the hotel. I would buy certain things that they sell probably or in that area. Like if you're in Greece on an island and you go to the markets or like you find beautiful items and then I would gather them home. And every time I would come home, I'm like, I'm looking at my place just coming from that other gorgeous place. I'm like, okay, what do I need to change or what can I change? What is going to make it even more like my own retreat center. And I realized now it's like 18 years of teaching. Like now I come home and I'm like, oh, it's nice. I'm not having the urge to change anymore. So it's taken years.
Yeah.
But now I'm just coming home and I'm like, oh, I'm really so, it's me. My home is me. And it gives
you feel
me,
good to
I
be
feel
there.
Just really good. Yeah. Yes.
So if I go to your bathroom and take a shower, all your towels are going to have a different spa name. you just happen to tuck them in your bag. Oh, God. Yeah, no, but I know what you mean about the gift shops. When I go to certain hotels, there's one in the UK that I love, the Soho House chain, but there's one in Chiswick that I really love to stay at. They have a Cal Shed. And they always have like the nicest products. And I love to bring this home because then I always feel that feeling that I had in London in my house.
I know. And you know what I like about hotel rooms? We should never forget.
What?
There's nothing in it. That's why we like it so much.
That's right.
And then at home, we just have too much clutter. We have just too much of our own thing. And I think the rooms, and this is my biggest learning, I think, is minimalize. And less is more. And I love that this has been going on in decorating scene
absolutely.
For the last years is really to minimalize. And also I've been, especially in the bathroom, I have reduced so much and like, because it can get really, that's what we like about hotel rooms. They look nice because there's nothing in it.
Right.
And then you take out your toothbrush, your toothpaste, and it's not always the most pretty packaging. I'm a huge packaging fan, by the way,
too. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So,
do you buy things just because it's pretty?
Sure.
You don't really, don't really care what it tastes like or,
looks pretty.
Guilty.
I'm a victim of that too. Yeah. But in the bathroom, I've really reduced and I've also kept like color concepts going on. I think this is like with clothing, it helped me a lot to work with the personal stylist to find out my own style because I think especially if you travel a lot or you get a lot of influence through magazines and articles or in social media, you're like, oh, this is nice and this is nice and this is nice, but it actually doesn't fit all together.
Yeah, or it doesn't work for you.
Oh, it doesn't work for you. Yeah, that dress looks beautiful on that girl, but oh no, she's like a whole different type.
Yeah. She has a waist and I don't, so it's not going to work.
So my biggest achievement this year was to work with a personal stylist to really find my own style.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's almost like doing your yoga meditation practice and knowing who you are,
right?
And then transferring that to your clothing style, and it's also you don't need so much. It's the funny thing, you start to have less because you're more sure of who you are, and you don't lose yourself in trying to express who you're not. Or following the crowd, and I think it's the same with the furniture and with decorating items. Is finding really special things that really represent you or you are fully in love with.
Yeah.
And not just taking everything in and just cluttering your home.
Yeah.
And usually the colors that you wear are pretty much the colors you like at home too.
That's true. Mm. Yeah. So do you decorate with a lot of creams and browns and leather and...
True.
Yeah, you do. Okay, because that's what you're wearing now.
I know.
And tactile, because you like to touch everything. I noticed that about you. You're really hands-on. Totally tactile. I know. Yeah, I'm the same way. And I think, like, I love having texture around.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do, definitely. Yeah. I do three-dimensional thinking.
Yeah, nice. So what about color? Because you spoke a little bit earlier about color and how it does carry a certain energy. And this is actually not just esoteric fluff. It's actually psychology. It's based, it's rooted in science that when we apply a certain color to a wall or whatever, it does affect us emotionally. Like I remember reading once that if you are always fighting in your dining room, and you look at your walls and you realize, oh, they're red. That's why, because the red can evoke emotion and passion. Mm-hmm. And certain other colors you're not supposed to put in certain rooms. How do you feel that color is affecting you at home?
So my color guru has just been on your show.
Oh,
it's Charlotte.
Oh,
from Rice, who I'm friends with, and whenever I stay at her place, I'm like, oh my god, it's magical! You can't believe how many colors she puts in one room.
Everything.
It just looks stunning.
Yeah.
And actually, she was the one when she came to my home, and my home at that time was very black and white. I had this black and white thing going on where
everyone went through that.
And then Charlotte came. She's like, and I was like, I put out those purple pillows, I think, or something. I was looking for color just to make her feel a little comfy in my place and not like, oh, so many variations of gray and black you got in your home. I'm like, no, it's very funny. But she also made me realize I can't be her and I can't just adopt everything she has as much as I like it.
Yeah.
But her claim is color me happy. And I think it's true that wearing color, having color in your home puts a different spark to your energy.
Yeah.
So when I was living in New York, my whole wardrobe, you would open it, it was only black. It was different forms and shapes, but it was all black.
Right.
And now, as you said, I'm wearing more white with
cream and brown.
But the funny thing is, transferring it to yoga, and a lot of yoga is also linked to Ayurveda. I was after the birth of my second child, I was seeing an Ayurvedic doctor in Berlin. I was living in Berlin at that time. And I was totally like, I was empty. There was no more energy. It was my second child. She was just born. We just moved to Berlin. And you know, there is stress factors, and the most stress factors is having a baby and moving apartments.
Yeah, that's or a double,
cities.
A double stress.
Or losing your job.
Yeah.
So these are the three tops.
Yeah.
And so I managed to have two at the same time. Yeah. Like most people, usually they come together.
Well, there's nothing like doing it all at once, Annika.
And so he was telling me, he was like, oh, you know what you're really missing? And it's funny you mentioned the color red. He said, you're missing red things in your life, because red is the grounding, the earth color as well. You said it's emotions and passions.
Yeah.
We would put the orange with the emotions, and the red, like if you put like a dark red, it's really a grounding energy. So he's like, you have to wear red. And I was like, oh my God. It's like,
yeah, that's
any color, but don't give me red.
Not when you feel like exhausted, right?
No, it's really funny. But do you have that you think certain colors you wouldn't wear, they don't match you? And now I love red. I have red.
Yeah.
I have red dresses. I have red sweaters.
I'm
I wear
not
red
there
lipstick.
Yet. I'm almost there. I'm doing
you wear
it
red
with my
lipstick.
I'm starting
you do.
With that,
and it looks amazing on you. So you can start with the lipstick or the nail polish.
Yeah.
So so that would actually, like, my skirt would actually go into a yellowish direction, and the yellow is the Manipura chakra, which means it's the power to do things. So maybe I knew that it was going to be all about starting a new impulse in January, because that is the energy you want to, the color you want to wear to
project that energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Color is such a strong and valuable thing. And I don't think people always realize how much it affects them until they're around a color they wouldn't normally use.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you walk into a room and it's painted purple, you think, oh God, I would never have done this at home, but I like it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to always experiment. And also a lot of people are really scared to experiment because they think something's going to happen. Like, but at the end of the day, it's just paint. You can repaint it.
You
can move on.
And Charlotte does it.
Yes,
you know,
she
redid
it. Always.
And now I have, the first time, I have no white wall anymore in my house.
Really?
And I'm loving it.
Really?
I'm really loving it. But it took me years. I'm 43 now, so.
43? Oh, and you look 33, so. Oh, God. Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about this practice or this sacred space that we can create at home. Because as someone who's a yoga teacher, who's teaching yoga almost every day and so involved in this practice, do you have a little sacred space or a little shrine or something at home where you just go and that's your little corner? Or do you have a room or a 500 square meter studio? Or what do you have?
I would love that second
and
third thought of yours. But I do
next year.
I started with a sacred space.
Okay.
Let's see where it's going to like, you know, I'm already speculating on the kids' room once they're out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
they're 8 and 11, so yeah, maybe.
Only 10 more years.
Yeah, that's right. 10 more years and I get your bedroom. Yeah.
Then I have my own yoga space at home. But so far, I think you can manage. And I think most of us, we don't live in these 500 square meter homes where we can have our own basement yoga room or a top floor yoga room would be even nicer, right? So it's you just need little to really create your own sacred space. And I think a sacred space should be a place for you to especially refuel and especially where you get inspiration. And now I'm a single mom, so I get to redo my whole apartment. I did my whole apartment by myself, which is a luxury, I know. Once you have a partner, it's fun too, but you always have to find compromises. Yeah, and yeah. Okay, do we really like this furniture, or right. do we want
that
color?
Always sacrifice.
I know. Yeah. So especially if you're living with more than yourself, you probably love that area, that sanctuary, because it's really yours and you get to only decorate it. There's nobody else who tells you what to put on, just yourself. So yes. That is your special me corner, and it's supposed to be for your me time. And it could be just, I have a friend who has only vases of flowers. Mm. So that's her sacred space. Or where we have lots of, as I told about the elephant, there's an elephant god called Ganesha.
You have one.
I know. Yeah. I have a huge one. Yeah. In my sacred space. And we have all these gods who present virtues and things we want to achieve, or we might want to invite more into our lives. You can use pictures of people that inspire you. You can even, once you had that amazing holiday and you collected stones or shells, you just bring them there, and just they remind you of that special time with yourself, with someone, or whatever they remind you of. So you can create a sacred space just with that. It doesn't have to be your own in the special room.
Like. So no pictures of someone who traumatized you in your life.
No.
No fifth grade teacher. No.
No, we don't need those anywhere at home. That's not good energy.
But don't you think in general, like a lot of times we do have some of these things at home and we don't realize it. We have like something that's a reminder of something that wasn't such a good time in our life, or we feel like we have to hold on to it anyway because it's part of our history or whatever. I always think, get rid of it. Just send it on its way.
It's what we call detox. And it's also beginning of the year is like a good time to get into that mode of, it's like we have that special spring energy. It helps us even more around February, March to get into that detox and the same thought of less is more. And we start with it by how much food we put on our plates and how many different like brunches, or like anytime you have a buffet, it's the worst for our body. The body only wants the same thing, or two or three things. It doesn't want 15 different things just to have your taste buds be all pleased. It's the same with friends, as you said. Sometimes we have friends we carry around with us just because we feel obliged to spend time with them, or they remind us of a past period. And it's also here, it all takes energy. And there's also these, I think for me, was one of the biggest thing creating my home or recreating my home is to get rid of things that I thought I needed because somebody else brought it to me. It was a gift, or it was from the family, or it meant something. And it's just the most liberating things to start all over, to have a naked room, to have a naked life.
Yeah.
And always give you that. And that's something, this is what January is about, is just start naked. Like reinvent yourself. Give yourself that permission to be who you want to be that year, because we all have that possibility inside of us to change. We have all these numerous possibilities to be. We just have to unlock them and believe into it.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful way to think. And also, too, don't you, maybe you would agree with this, but I think so many of us feel like you get to a certain point in your life and you almost feel like you need permission to do things. Like people always say, oh, you know, one of these days I'm going to have that sofa, or one of these days I'm going to go to Greece, or one of these days. But don't you feel like time is running? And there's no such thing as one of these things, one of these days. It's all about make the goal to do it now. If you really want it, like they always say, Pinterest says, quotes on Pinterest say, if you really want something, you'll make time for it.
It's true. And it's also, I think, the self-trust we can cultivate a little bit more and not wait for approval of other people. I love that saying, like, once everybody approves, you're not creative anymore.
That's true.
It's just like, make yourself free of what they think, because that's what I learned being a model.
Yeah,
because it's a tough learning, but it's kind of like you notice this is just a look, and you walk into when you do shows, and I did lots of shows, and then you have like 15 castings in a day, and you walk in, and you're just like it's your turn. You walk in, and they're like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. She looks perfect in all clothes and we want her. And then you go and you feel all like beaming. I'm the one. And then you walk into the next one. They're like, no, thank you. I mean, you don't need to show us your book. It's like, oh my God, what were you thinking about walking into our door? So this happens in like half an hour. And for one person, you are like the shit. Yeah. Sorry to say. But yeah. And then the other one, you're just like, yeah. I think, who told you could be a model, you know?
Oh, lovely.
So, and then it's like, you're like, okay, this is just their personal perspective on you and you can't change anything because that's your look, that's your outside look. You can't change it. So you just have to be proud and happy of who you are and start living that, being that person, just loving yourself for who you are, because it's the, you don't wait for somebody telling you that you're worth something. Is you have to give it to yourself. And I think that's a big point also when we want to do something in our home. It's just like, hey, if you like it, it's perfect.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't ask for permission. Don't do something because it's trend.
And don't wait.
And like, don't wait. Yeah, absolutely. Just do it. I am so happy that you're here. I wish we could go on and on and on. I actually think you should be my regular guest.
We can talk about a spring theme. Maybe.
Yeah, you'll come back. You'll come back, right? Okay, I would love to have you back again. I really would love to close, though, and ask you this, because I know you have two young children. You're a single mom. Mm. You're always traveling. You work so hard. You're so dedicated to your children. But at the end of the day, what makes your house a home? How does it make you feel? How does it carry you every day?
So I definitely do have my own room.
Yeah.
So I need, and I think that's what I also taught the kids, is it's okay to withdraw yourself and to go into your own room and just refuel on your own energy. And they do it.
Yeah.
So we are not always hanging onto each other in the kitchen or the living room area or this. It's like they, we've all learned to, if sometimes, especially living in a big city, it is just having also your own private room, which you made such a special place where you just go into and refuel. And I think we all do that. And then we all come back out of that like kind of womb that we went into and didn't have a great time also together. So I think it's that. It's like everybody has also their own special places inside of the house, and then we all manage to live together in a beautiful way.
Yeah, so I guess then what makes your house a home is being able to have your own space there that can rejuvenate you and make you feel good, and also not having the pressure to perform all the time for your family. Because I think a lot of us, especially moms, come home and we feel like we just have to be on. We have to make dinner. Mm-hmm. We have to get them ready. We have to do the homework. We've got to play with them. And at the end of the day, you're just dead and you have nothing to give to yourself.
Exactly.
And I think we have to give ourselves a little bit more permission, because especially our generation, because I think back of my mother, I mean, it was not that way when I was being raised. It was like, oh, go play in the yard. And 5 hours later, it's dark outside, come back in.
I know,
like no one was micromanaging their children in the 80s. And nowadays we're all micromanaging our families, I think, and sometimes too much. So
I think
it's nice
teaching them to nourish themselves and to taking care of themselves and watching their needs. I think that's a good parenting.
Yeah, too. Yeah. And you are a great woman. So I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm really hoping you'll come back. And everyone who's listening, Annika has two beautiful books that maybe you can just, before you go, tell us the name of both of the books.
Sure. And it's very about a home practice, because for me, yoga is a home practice. It's nice to go in a studio, or it's nice to get inspiration through doing yoga videos. I'm on Yoga Easy, so if you need that inspiration.
Yoga Easy.
Yoga Easy.
Yep.
Yes. And but the books are really about how to create your own home practice at home and what it needs to practice at home. So it's actually perfect for your show here. It's called Uncommon.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's my home makes me uncommon. Yeah. Makes me find myself.
Yeah.
And arriving, or how do you say it in English? It's like being myself.
Yeah, yeah. Coming home to myself.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
That's what it's about. And the second one is how to make little retreats at home. So, because I love retreats, because they take you out of your everyday life.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, it's not for everybody's budget or everybody's time frame
to go on a retreat. Right, yeah.
So, and the second book is called Wohlsein, which means not only feeling well, but being well. because being is a more long-term thing than just creating a feeling.
Right.
And so if you spend more time into investing into a certain mood or into a certain virtue and doing different sorts of practices to manifest that, that is a retreat, then you create a long-term well-being. And that is what is the second book is about, is to make weekends to five different, I search for five different themes, which I think are very important in everybody's life. And this is just about how to make it a whole weekend.
Okay, and that's something you can do from home?
At home. It's okay. All about doing it at your own great. Home.
Good, yes. Good. Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait for your next book and yes. for everything else that you'll do this year. I'm so happy that you've started with us in January with the podcast. I think it's a great thing for listeners to hear you. And thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Bye. Holly. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again and have a nice day.
Audio Now.